Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio and Joe DiBiase. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Always such a soothing type of open. You know, I mean, as far as sports opens go, Joe, usually it's something really cool, and then you have the Masters, which come in as such a gentle. And it works. It works for golf for sure, but you know, is it one of the more recognizable? Then maybe not that music for sure, but I don't know. I guess you could, you know, when they have the CBS like promo come up, people can recognize it just like they do a lot of other sports themes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's hard to be. You don't quite get what truth. I mean, you do get juiced up, though, right? That's the power of the Masters. The music doesn't imply that you're going to get fired up, pumped up, but like you, I still do for all of it. Magnolia Lane, the Azaleas.
That's right.
Amen, all of it.
What's going on right now with the Masters? I haven't had a chance. I know it was delayed this morning. I saw that. But I'm not really sure exactly what's happened like in the last 2 hours. I haven't been able to pay attention to it.
The weather's starting to clear up there, and we are about 25 minutes from the first tee times. Jake Knapp and Eric Van Ruyen are the first two that'll be off. And you'll start to get some bigger names. When's the first like big name that tees off? But yeah, like a 2.5 hour delay because of weather, and everything from this morning or this afternoon through to Sunday looks clear. So it shouldn't be a week of this. The big names usually are a little after 12 to tee off, and then Tiger will be 3:54. So basically everyone got pushed back like 2.5 hours.
Okay, now I feel really horrible not knowing this, but I had no idea until Josh just told me that there's an opening ceremonies at the Masters. Like, I didn't... Yeah. Like, what does that entail?
For a while, it would be Jack Nicklaus, Arnold Palmer, and Gary Player would all hit a ceremonial opening tee shot. All three of them would hit a tee shot off one. And it would basically be the guy from the Masters, like, introducing everybody to, like, and now the start of the Masters. Like he kind of opens it, basically, like opening the stock exchange. And then Nicklaus and Palmer.
Do they ring the bell? I don't think they ring a bell, though, on the first tee.
I don't know if they have a bell.
I don't know. Maybe they do. I did know that about those guys, like, going early, but I didn't know that was, like, part of an opening ceremony.
Yes.
Like, I'm thinking Olympics opening ceremonies. You know, you could have the players come out with their flags or something.
Right. No, that's what it is, basically, is they introduce everyone, and then those three hitting their tee shots is like the bell. And they obviously don't play past the first tee shot. And then since Arnold Palmer passed away, I think it's just Nicklaus and Player now that do it. But as soon as Tiger's not playing in this competitively, he should absolutely, I think, be the third guy that joins that ceremony.
Ooh, yeah. Tiger will play later in the day, and it's not Tiger Tracker anymore. There's another Tiger Twitter account that I follow, and it does keep track of Tiger, and they were talking about the wind. That is the one. Look, you know me. I would rather play in hot weather than cooler weather. I know you like cooler weather for golf. Mm-hmm. I hate playing in wind. I hate playing golf in wind. I just think you want pure conditions, right? It's like playing football in a dome. It's the same thing with, I want Josh Allen to be able to throw in a dome, not throw in a windy day. And even though he can be better than the other quarterback, I totally understand that. But golf on a windy day is tough. Now, these guys, it doesn't matter as much when it's 20-mile-an-hour winds. But I did read that they're thinking maybe gusts up to 30 today, actually.
Okay, so maybe you might want to be a big hitter then a little bit more to cut through the wind a little bit.
I think so.
And Tiger,
I'm in a pool. Are you in a Masters pool?
I am in a kind of. It's like a fantasy golf pool, kind of. So it's every week, but the Masters is more.
Oh.
And then I'm in, you throw a couple of wagers down as well along the way. I don't think I'm in a pool. I got invited to one. I wonder if it's not too late. There's still 25 minutes to go until people tee off. So, and honestly,
the one that I'm in, because it was delayed, the actual cutoff time was the original start time. So you couldn't get in. If you're not in now, you can't get in, even though it was delayed, if that makes sense.
Right. Maybe it depends if you're doing it like by, does anyone do it by hand anymore? Who's out there with an Excel sheet that wants to get me into their pool?
That's a good question. Okay. So in my pool, what happens is, you have to choose, there's groups. Choose one guy from this group, two guys from this group, one guy from this group, mm-hmm. and so on. And it's always tough because obviously the top group is the favorites, are the favorites and the best golfers. And I just struggled between, I'm looking at the top group, it's got all your big time names and favorites, and I went with Jon Rahm. And it was between him and Scottie Scheffler. I could only choose one of them, but I went with Jon Rahm for that group.
Okay. You're banking on a repeat, right? He won it last
year.
Yeah. He also, I heard Brian Koziel on this yesterday with Chopin the Bulldog. He'll be on a lot next couple of days. He did not have Rahm in his golf bet with Chopin Bulldog.
Ooh.
Because, how did he put it? Basically, Rahm this year has played in two tournaments at resort courses in shorts. So he's like, I'm just going to bet on he's not ready for Augusta. I don't know that I would subscribe to that. I understand Brian's logic. I don't know. We'll see. The live stuff is still kind of untested, right? Like, we don't really know if you're actually any less likely to win because you haven't been playing tournament after tournament after tournament. I mean, other than we know Koepka won a major last year doing that. So I don't know if we know yet if that's a disadvantage.
Now, I don't have all the names in each group here for you, but I could tell you who I have. I have Rahm, and then
okay.
I have Cam Smith and Jordan Spieth. There were two from Group B I get to choose.
Okay.
Those are the two guys I chose, Cam Smith and Jordan Spieth. I'm a Cam Smith fan. I think that he's fantastic. And, of course, Jordan Spieth should – how can you think he's not going to be involved in some way, right? That's what I think about. And then as it goes down, I have Brian Harman, Harris English, and Danny Willett. Those are my
– okay.
That is my group.
All right, I like it. Speaking of Spieth, one of the bets I have on this is that he'll be the round one leader. I saw a lot of good stuff on him, and he has a lot of good first days at majors. So I'm into Spieth. He'll lose his mind on Sunday because something's not going well for him, but he's competitive at least.
The 10:30 start time is Erik van Rooyen. I hope I say his name right. And Jake Knapp. And if you look at Jake Knapp, I saw the picture. I thought it was Cam Smith. Have you seen Jake Knapp?
I have not, no.
Jake Knapp and Cam Smith look like they're brothers. They're twins.
Huh. The long hair and the mustache?
Yes.
Okay. Let's see.
Can you look him up? Look up Jake Knapp. K-N-A-P-P.
He does very...
And tell me he doesn't look like Cam Smith.
He looks like Cam Smith. He's got the same vibe going of the mullet and the mustache. Yeah. And the blondish hair.
So those are your first two to tee off today. Good morning. It is April 11th. We are, 2 weeks away from the NFL draft, 2 weeks from tonight. When will the Bills pick, though? Will they pick 28? Will they be higher than that? Will they be lower than that? I still keep thinking they're not going to pick at 28 just because, they rarely pick under Brandon Bean where they're scheduled to pick anyway. And the moves that they made keep the trail of breadcrumbs telling me that, they're going to make a move in some way, shape, or form. I just don't know if they can get up as high as maybe even they'd like to, or it could be possible what it would cost to do it, especially considering how flush this draft is with wide receivers. But speaking of them, Joe, today we're going to call it Texas Longhorns Day today. Eric Henry, not Derrick Henry, Eric Henry covers the Texas Longhorns, and he's going to join us at 11:05. to talk about A.D. Mitchell and Xavier Worthy. So we got a couple of different Longhorns in this draft that the Bills and other teams obviously could be very interested in. So we'll talk with him. We have Paul Hamilton coming up at 10:30. It is the final Sabres home game of the season tonight. It is fan appreciation night. And, I mean, there's a lot of, I'm sure there's snide remarks and jokes and comments, and I get it. I mean, this is always scheduled. Whether, I think, you could tell me, Joe, it's been so long. I think they do fan appreciation night even if they make the playoffs, right? I think that they would do that. Yep. It's always scheduled. You can't just say, like, we're only going to do it if it's not, playoffs and there's more home games. But I would think this is normally scheduled. So either way, it's going to be fan appreciation night tonight. And I don't know what the reception is going to be for the team. I don't know what kind of crowd to expect. Alex Ovechkin is in town. He is playing in this game, I presume. I haven't seen anything different from that. But should be interesting down at the arena tonight, but another disappointing season for the Sabres. I do wonder what tonight's environment's going to be like now that they are playing their first game after being officially eliminated from the playoffs.
Yeah. I think it should be relatively tame unless the game... I mean, if the game is poor, it's going to sound like it has, which is... fans unhappy, and given that this is the finality of the season, that there is a finality to it, there are definitely outcomes that it could be ugly that I'm really hoping don't happen, that aren't kind of the final final instinct going into the season, your final vibe check going into the off season. I mean, if they lose this game, it doesn't even have to be by a lot, but if they lose 3-2, and then what happens? Do they go to center and salute the fans? Do they raise their sticks? Because that might not be the best idea in this situation. Like, I don't think you're going to get a very positive reception to that. It is the jersey off your back night, of course, at the end, too. So they'll still be on the ice. Maybe they just go to that and they hand the fans their jerseys. But it's almost in a way, it's a big game to win just so that we don't have to deal with the potential uncomfortable situations at the end of it.
Right. No, I agree with that. And, yeah, I don't know. I mean, isn't it ironic what you just said? I'm thinking about the saluting the fans after everything that happened this year, and tonight might be a night where they do it even after they lose. I don't know. It's just such a – it's a weird – I don't even know about weird is the word. I'm just so disappointed that we can't have a hockey team here into the playoffs when it's so easy to make it. It seems like in the NHL, right? It should be so easy to make it.
Mm-hmm.
The 13 years in the NHL without a playoff appearance is far worse than 17 years in the NFL, right? I'm right about that, right?
Yes, I think it is. I mean, what percentage of teams got into the playoffs when the Bills were missing all those years? What was it, like 12?
What percentage? What do you mean?
Like 12 out of 32 teams in the NFL would make the playoffs?
Oh,
when
yeah,
the Bills
yeah,
had their drought?
So, yeah, they didn't expand it until after the Bills had broken the drought.
So basically like a little less than a third or a little more than a third of teams would get in. In the NHL, half the teams get in, and for more than half the drought, more than half the teams got in. And you still couldn't get in? There was one tweet I saw earlier today. This is just shows how unbelievable what they've done here in 13 years is. The fact that it's never happened before in the league by 3 years is already unbelievable. But given that 50% of the teams make the playoffs, if you compute that all together, that would mean the chances of the average franchise missing the playoffs 13 straight years are 1 in 8,192. Like, it shouldn't be possible what they've done here. And I know it's not just them. It's not just Adams. It's not just Granato. It's not just H. Thompson and Tuck and all these guys. Like, they're here at the end of it. Hopefully it's the end of it and not the middle. They're not on the hook for all of it, but there's a weight to the playoff drought. Maybe the same way that the Bills had at some point, where if you are signing up to become a coach here or someone in management here or a player, you have to take ownership of it. There is a weight that comes with that drought that I think has to be carried by the team until they actually break it. And that's one area that I always appreciated what Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean did when they got here, which is they showed right up and said, "Yeah, we're the coach and GM now. Like, we own the drought." And I feel like the way this season has gone, it's been a lot of the team and maybe more so even the players wanting to detach themselves from it. When your fans aren't, your fans can't detach themselves from it. They're living it. And that, I think maybe that's where a lot of the tension has been between the two sides.
Alex Ovechkin in town tonight. I have always had this, I don't hate Alex Ovechkin in any regard. Like, I like him. He's fantastic to watch. I've always hated the fact that he's going to break Wayne Gretzky's record, though, Joe. I have to be quite honest.
Really? You hate that? Well, yep. Go ahead. Yeah.
I mean, I grew up Gretzky, right? I mean, like, Gretzky was the guy. Like, oh my God, nobody will ever be as good. Like, the romanticism of having a player you watch be so great and thinking how great he is, I think to me, having a guy come along as great as Ovechkin is, I never wanted Gretzky's records to be broken because I still want to tell you how great Wayne Gretzky is compared to everybody else, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. I don't want to lose the romanticism of Gretzky being the greatest player I've ever seen and no one will ever be as good because that's what I've always believed. And here comes Alex Ovechkin ready to break his goal record. Now, granted, Alex Ovechkin is nowhere near the assists of Wayne Gretzky, right? I mean, in points.
Oh, sure.
And okay, so right. I would still tell you Wayne Gretzky, to me, is still the greatest hockey player who ever lived.
Sure.
I understand it's different eras. I understand that the goalies wore basically shin guards or pads back then, right? And, you know, it was totally different the way they played. I've never wanted him to break the record, and I'm not going to love it when he does it, to be quite honest. I'm not hating on Ovechkin at all. I'm just loving on Gretzky.
Yeah, I get that. That is reasonable. I love Ovechkin. I really have loved Ovechkin for a while now. I mean, maybe even since the Cup. Like, when he won the Cup, and you could just, I mean, not that it doesn't mean anything to anyone else, but how much that thing meant to him, because for his whole career, he was the guy that everyone said, yeah, incredible goal scorer, but lazy, right? That was attached to him, and you can't win the big one, was him. And then he lifted it, and then partied for 3 months after. And, you know, you gotta love that part of Ovechkin, I think. And he just became very likable to me. He became a face of the league that part of the reason I've liked him is I think he leaned into being the face of the league, having a personality, and I just feel like the other guy, Crosby, never wanted it. Never, ever, ever had any interest of being the face of hockey. And I think Ovechkin maybe was a better way of growing the game because of his style and the swag of how he wears his equipment and the visor and the laces. And I don't know, you just always saw his personality come out. So I've always liked him. And more than that, I think a bigger reason that I will like when he breaks the record is I can't believe he's actually going to do it. Like, just the sheer incredibleness of the fact that it will be broken. I never thought a Gretzky record would be broken. All his records are incredible. You just brought up the assists. Right. I saw a thing yesterday on social media that if you look at the top assist seasons, single season assists records of all time NHL, this is how it goes. Number one, Gretzky. Number two, Gretzky. Number three, Gretzky. Number four, Gretzky. Number six, Gretzky. Number seven, Gretzky. Number eight, Gretzky. Like, he's the top.
That's amazing.
He's the top eight assist seasons ever. He's absolutely the best player of all time. But just never thought we'd see the day where one of his records gets broken. And because of how rare that is, that's why I want to see it happen. Because I don't think any of Gretzky's other records will ever be broken. This is like the only one that there's even a shot at it.
It's not only Gretzky for me, though. It's also those Oilers teams, Joe. Like, I've long believed. I have, you know, when people say, give me a sports opinion that you stand firm on or you have a hot take on. Here's mine, okay? And I've always said this. I think the 80s Oilers, to me, there has been no greater collection of talent on any team sports team ever than what we saw in the 80s Oilers. I think that is the greatest collection of talent on one group ever for an extended period of time, like 2, 3, 4 years. Even if you want to say 1 year, 2 years, whatever.
Yeah.
Now, granted, I didn't watch the Lakers and Celtics of the 50s and 60s and the Yankees in the 60s or the 20s, 1927 Murderers Row Yankees, right? But for me, in my lifetime, no one will ever touch the amount of talent those teams had. You're talking about that stat you just gave. I'm going to give you another one, Joe. Have you ever looked at the career points totals in the playoffs? Like, if all-time career playoff leader point totals. You ever looked at it?
I mean, I probably have at some point, but I don't, not off the top of my head.
Now, granted, in the playoffs have expanded, you know, over the last several years. And, you know, we've had, and it used to be, remember, they only used to play even a best of five early on. So this makes it even more remarkable. I'm going to read to you, Joe, the most points ever in career playoffs in the NHL, starting at the top. Number one, Wayne Gretzky, 382. Number two, obviously Edmonton Oilers. Number two, Mark Messier, Edmonton Oilers. Number three, Jari Kurri, Edmonton Oilers. Number four, Glenn Anderson, Edmonton Oilers. It wasn't until recently that five was taken over from an Edmonton Oiler, Paul Coffey, who was number five. Now it's Jaromir Jagr and Sidney Crosby. Joe, the top four, and it was five for the longest time, all-time playoff point getters were on the same damn team for 4 years.
That's incredible. One of which was defenseman, by the way.
Yes!
Yeah. It's the best, I mean, it's never going to be touched as the best team of all time.
Oh,
the best dynasty, whatever you want to put it.
I just think the greatest collection of talent, right? And I know the Bulls had some, and you know Jordan and Pippen and what, but come on, they did not have this type of group that for that many people. And by the way, their goalie was Grant Fuhr, who was really good as well. And they had other guys who were really good down the list on those teams. But that's why, going back to the Ovechkin discussion, like I just have such an affinity for those Oilers teams of the 80s. And we talked about weeks ago, before I went on vacation, the Islanders right before them were the first dynasty I remember, right? The Islanders were the first dynasty of my lifetime. They win in 80, 81, 82, 83. The Oilers lose in 83 to the Islanders, and then they win the next three cups. But those teams, no one could match them. And growing up, you know the way it is, Joe. When you're 10, 11, 12, 13 years old, aren't those such incredibly sports impressionable years on you that you hold those teams in regard like you do?
Sure.
Like you were so lucky to have those teams for the Buffalo Sabres when you were that age.
Yes. Yeah, no, totally. Yeah. I mean, the and that is Ovechkin for me a little bit too, right? Like he
is. That's right.
He's in the league at 05-06. Like that is me coming up as a Sabre fan and as a hockey fan. I mean, that's when hockey becomes my favorite sport at the time, and even still. But I'm 10, 11 years old when Ovechkin is got the tinted visor and is on his back scoring goals against the Coyotes that are, you still see the highlight of, and scoring 60 as a rookie, and then, you know, obviously goes on to have the career he has. That's part of it, too. And I'm at that end of that stage, right? Like, this is now happening for me a lot. With hockey, it already happened in football, but in hockey, it's the guys I grew up watching that were the stars of the league are slowly being whittled out, right? Like, Ovi's at the end, and Crosby is almost at the end, and some of those, like, Thornton is already gone. Like, some of those guys are already out. Obviously, all those Sabres are already out. They have one active NHL player left that played for them in the playoffs. I'm sorry, I didn't need to throw that in, but you know what I mean? Like he's gonna be like one of my last favorite players growing up that's left going. So I think it will be very cool when he breaks it. There's always that Russian stigma too with players that I think he always had to fight against, but that's probably ancient history at this point. So yeah, he's my version of that, I think. The Capitals are not. I mean, they only won one Stanley Cup with him, but he's my version of that that you have for the Oilers.
I am actually really happy he won a Stanley Cup. I'm glad. I'm glad we're not sitting here at this time going, oh my God, he still hasn't won a cup, and when's it going to happen? I'm glad he did. Real quick, let's get Walter in before we get to Paul, who's going to join us here in a little while. If you could bring Walter up, Josh, I'd appreciate it. Go ahead, Walter. You're on the Extra Point Show.
Hey, gentlemen. Good morning. I was telling your screener I've been having problems with the Odyssey app up here in Canada. I haven't been able to listen to you guys other than being in the radio in the car. So hopefully that can get solved because I really miss listening to you guys. A couple of points I'd like to make. I know you're pressed for time. I agree with you, Sal, about the Ovechkin thing. You got to remember, how many goals did he get on 3-on-3 hockey? I mean, that's really skewed the stats. You put Gretzky.
I don't think it has. I don't know. How many has he had, really?
I don't think
he has.
Can
we look that up, Joe?
I'll look it up.
I'd venture to say it's going to be like 20, 25. He's had a lot.
I'm just saying, we don't want to go too far down this road, Walter, because I've got empty net stats for Gretzky versus Ovechkin ready to go, cocked at any point.
Well, Joe, you know what? I love you, but you do have a bit of a youth bias because in all your discussions about Woods, and hey, to my mind.
And I have an old man bias, Walter. You and I have an old man bias, so it happens both ways.
How can you top Jack Nicholson, right? Come on, best golfer.
Nicholas. Come on,
Jack
Walter.
Nicholas, yeah.
Hey, yeah, no, I'm just kidding.
No, real quick, Walter, because we do have Paul. Do you agree with me? You're a hockey fan. Oilers of the 80s, any better collection of talent you've ever seen?
You know what? I got to agree with that. They should have had another cup, but they lost that incredible series to the Flames. But they should have had a bunch in a row because the Islanders had four in a row. That's pretty good hockey in the modern era. But yeah, I mean the Oilers they changed the rule just for Gretzky.
They did.
They did. You know, the 4-on-4. They went offsetting penalties. They made him play 5-on-5 because Gretzky was just eating him up. So can you imagine if he had 3-on-3 overtime?
I know that's right. Mm-hmm. That is, and that's such a great point, Walter. You're right. Thanks for the call. That is one point I always point to as well, Joe. They literally changed the rules because the Oilers were so good in the 80s.
Yep.
It used to be, you know, you get two penalties, coincidental minors, you go 4-on-4. And then now like it is today. But they changed it because the Oilers would do it on purpose just so they could score on you.
Right. Wow.
And they went 5-on-5 for years.
Yeah.
I mean,
like, I'm good to table this until like end of next year or the beginning of the season after. I'm good to table a lot of this stuff. I'm not saying I think Alex Ovechkin is in any way a better hockey player than Wayne Gretzky was. But I'm just not that. Walter's not even doing it all the way, obviously. But there's a Game of Thrones speech where King Robert says to Ned, like, there's a war coming. I don't know who's going to be fighting it, but it's coming. And that's me right now with, I don't know who's going to be fighting it. But there is a war coming when Ovechkin breaks that record that I'm going to have to fend off, you know, all the excuses as to why he has the record when, by the way, Gretzky didn't have to deal with 2.5 lockouts and a COVID shutdown losing games like Ovechkin did. See, I'm already wrapped up and ready to go. I got to stop.
And we went too long to get to Paul. So we'll do that when we come back here. Good start to the show today. We have Eric Henry joining us on the Texas Longhorns wide receiver at the top of the hour. I'm going to do more on this Ovechkin stuff. I got some really good stats, and we'll kind of put to some trivia maybe when it comes to the NHL and goal scoring. We'll come back. We'll have Paul Hamilton.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
After this on WGR.
It's Paul Hamilton. We should be friends. Has the facts to back up his opinions.
Enough just pooped his pants.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Okay, we are following a story here from, so the Twitter account of O.J. Simpson has tweeted that O.J. Simpson has passed away, and it appears it's one of his children that has posted this, and I'm not just reading this just offhanded. Other news outlets, including WBEN, have tweeted about it and said this and pointed it out. So we don't have like an official confirmation here, but the official Twitter account of O.J. Simpson has what says, on April 10th, our father, Orenthal James Simpson, succumbed to his battle with cancer. He was surrounded by his children and grandchildren. During this time of transition, his family asks that you please respect their wishes of privacy and grace. Signed, the Simpson family. So just so everybody's aware, we're on that. We're looking at that. And it appears as though that's very likely here from this post that O.J. Simpson has passed away. And obviously, like I said, WBEN has tweeted about it as well. But we'll let you know as soon as we get any more confirmation or hear anything on that. In the meantime, Paul Hamilton joins us here on the West Her Hotline. Paul, did you hear what I said about the Edmonton Oilers earlier? The old Oilers?
I did. I just briefly want to say with O.J. Simpson, I'll tell you what, I'm talking about football only, the best running back I've ever seen. I did not see Jim Brown.
Right.
So I won't say he's the best ever because I didn't see Jim Brown. But by far, and you know what? It's by far, and there have been a lot of great running backs since O.J. Simpson, but I've never seen anything like it.
Well, when people ask me who the greatest Buffalo Bills ever are, I say there's two. It's Bruce Smith and O.J. Simpson. I just think that those are the two greatest Buffalo Bills ever to me.
Yeah, no, he was...
Football-wise.
Joe Ferguson would throw 10, 12 passes a game. Teams game planned for that. They knew it, and he'd still roll up 275 yards rushing. It was just phenomenal the way he could turn a football game. And as I said, I'm just talking about football only. I'm not talking about the other stuff.
And we all know that anytime we talk about him now, it's always got to be couched with that. And we understand that, and we do it, and it, right? Because you feel weird saying it. And I understand why you say that, and I would do the same thing. Edmonton Oilers of the 80s, greatest collection of talent you've ever seen in sports? It is for me.
Pretty close, yeah. The Montreal Canadiens of Scotty Bowman would rival it.
Yeah.
But those would probably be the top two. I would put them ahead of the Islander teams of Trottier, Bossy, Potvin. I would put the Oilers ahead of that. Not that those teams were bad by any stretch of the imagination, but for the what they were able to accomplish, just a great team.
Alex Ovechkin is most likely going to break Wayne Gretzky's all-time scoring record. He's in town tonight. What do you just overall, just your off the cuff thoughts about Alex Ovechkin's career? Finally getting a Stanley Cup a few years ago, he might be, when it's all said and done, the greatest all-time goal scorer as far as numbers are concerned. What do you think about his career overall?
Yeah, and it was weird this year because I was wondering, okay, has he finally hit the wall, you know, at his age? And then he went on this crazy streak at the end of the year, and, you know, he needs to average maybe 24 goals in the next two seasons, and he's got it. And my thought is, what Alex Ovechkin are we going to see next year? You know, is it the one that we saw in the second half of the season, or has age caught up with them? You know, what kind of season has it been? And he's probably not the best shooter I've ever seen, but he's pretty close to it. I think Mike Bossy might be the best pure shooter I ever saw, but he's pretty close to it. I mean, the way he can just – and the thing is, too, teams know what he's going to be doing. On the power play, they know where he's going to be. He's been there for how many years? Never been anyplace else. And he's always open. Always open. But
yeah,
everybody knows where he is. It's like, this is no secret. How is he always open for this, taking this big booming shot on the power play?
Yeah. I always think of him, Paul, whenever, like earlier in the season, maybe we did more of this, of, hey, how come they can't get Tage Thompson the puck on the power play in the same spot? They're focusing so much attention. And I'm always like, I don't know how they do it, but somehow for 15 years, Washington always finds a way to get it to Ovechkin, and it's not like the penalty kill isn't focused on him.
And he's most times he's wide open. It's just like, wait a minute. There's no secret here. How is this happening?
Nine times he's led the NHL in total goals scored. Alex Ovechkin in town tonight as the Sabres take on the Capitals. It is the final home game of the season. It's fan appreciation night. What kind of atmosphere do you expect on the final home game of the season after now that we know this team is going to miss the playoffs again for a 13th straight season, the first game after they were officially eliminated?
Well, this is a pretty weird fan appreciation night with the way things have gone between the fans and this team.
Mm-hmm.
And but I will say this, that they've won six of their last eight games here at home, and the fans have been good. You know, even that first game they lost, I believe it was to Winnipeg, I didn't hear anybody boo. But, you know, I think that's all they just want to see effort. They want to see you play well. And as I said, when all this garbage was going on between the players and the fans, just win. That's all you got to do. If you win, make the playoffs, this all goes away. Your fans are going to love you. They're going to be like they've been the last eight games, every game. And they're not going to be jumping down your throat all the time. So, and the Sabres have to get mentally tougher, too. They can't be worried about the fans booing. They can't be worried about what I say or you say or what the fans say. All that matters is what goes on behind closed doors in that room. And they've got to get mentally tougher when it comes to that kind of stuff. They can't be worried about all the, quote, outside noise that they worry about.
And I read that. I saw that the other night when it was said by Tage. We listened to it yesterday. I heard the audio, actually. And I just don't know what he's talking about. What outside noise? I mean, this playing in this media market, as opposed to a lot of other ones, as you know, is quite, this is not Toronto or Montreal when it comes to hockey, and it's a smaller market anyway when it comes to sports. And I understand that there have been a few things along the way, but come on, Paul. Like, I mean, this team is not facing, like, adversity after adversity. There's not even a storyline like a Stephon Diggs, like we deal with the Bills all the time when it comes to the Sabres.
I think it's media. It's also fans. I've never seen this fan base this toxic. It's not even close when it comes to this team. It is extremely toxic. And sometimes it gets to me just, you know, as vicious as I got to read all day long when it comes to that kind of stuff. And, again, they just got to ignore it. Get off Twitter. You know, stop reading the paper. Get off Twitter and just don't worry about it. He's not the only one. I know Cousins has brought it up before. I know Kyle Laposo talked about it. And I could tell when Kyle was talking about it, it drove him crazy. He would just be like, what are we doing here? We can't be worried about that kind of stuff. And I know he was trying to get that out of some of these players, but he's like fighting a losing battle. He's outnumbered. They don't have that many veterans. It's basically him and Eric Johnson. But I knew it bugged him, that it bugged his teammates, that they were paying attention to that kind of stuff. And one of the biggest things, well, there are a lot of things to talk about with this team, but one of the biggest things is this team needs to get mentally tougher on the ice during games and with this kind of stuff.
Do you think that can happen internally? Or do you think they need, I mean, I'm not saying like a guy that plays 8 minutes a night on the fourth line. Like, is one of their acquisitions this summer need to be with some mind towards replacing the leadership that Okposo had, but maybe with a better player?
And just more than one. And it has to be, you know, something that doesn't get talked about here is, you know, Kevin Adams, his people got him to think that Eric Johnson was going to help. Yeah, Eric Johnson going to help in the locker room, but he was not good 5-on-5. It passed him by. And whatever recommendations he got to bring Eric Johnson in here, yeah, he helped to kill penalties and everything, but it was not a good acquisition for them, and they didn't make many acquisitions. So that didn't help. That they got in a bad one there. So that has to be better, too. The staff has to be better in who they're looking at and who they're going to bring in. And they got to stop looking for 5'10", 185-pound players.
Final home game of the season tonight. Paul, we got to let you go. UPL in goal tonight. Is that
that's what it's looking like here. So he will be in net for this one.
And what about, real quickly, no Byram on the ice right now?
I do not see Byram down there, no. We'll find out when we talk to Don Granato in a little bit. He's the only one missing here in the morning skate.
We'll hear from you on pregame 6 o'clock here on WGR. Thanks, Paul.
Sounds great, guys. Take care.
All right, you got it. It is the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. And, of course, whenever we have Paul Hamilton on the air, I got to find his read here. Let me grab that for you somewhere here. Where is Paul Hamilton's read? Here we go. All right, Paul Hamilton, whenever he's on WGR, his reports are brought to you by Equitable Advisors, thinking about today and planning for tomorrow, and by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. Okay, Joe, ABC News is now reporting as well that O.J. Simpson has passed away. has passed away, according to his family. O.J. Simpson, that was posted on his official Twitter account by his family, and now ABC News is reporting it as well. So that appears to be the case today. When we come back, want to do a little bit more on this Ovechkin thing and talk about the players right now in the NHL and some of the better goal scorers. But also, we're going to get ready to talk to Eric Henry, not Derek, Eric Henry. I keep wanting to say Derek Henry, who covers the Texas Longhorns. That's on A.D. Mitchell and Xavier Worthy. We'll get with him at 11:05 coming up here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Oh, Joseph, Joseph, Joseph. Alex Ovechkin, you hear that music? Obviously, he's going to be one of the, he might be the greatest goal scorer ever when it's all said and done. It looks like that. But he is, of course, the top goal scorer right now in the NHL. How many of the top, I don't know, 5, 6, 10 can you get? Current, active NHL career goal leaders.
Of the top 10?
How many can you get? I don't know. Just give me, how far can you go?
So, I can do Ovechkin.
Okay.
Stamkos.
He's third.
Crosby.
He's second.
Malkin.
He's fourth. You have the top four. Bam. Good job.
Okay. Kane.
He's sixth.
Tavares.
He's eighth.
Okay.
You're missing five. Seven.
Pavelski.
The top eight so far. Joe Pavelski is number five, yes.
Yep.
This guy, you want me to give you a hint on number seven?
Sure.
He played for the Sabres.
He played for the Sabres?
Very briefly. Not long ago.
Okposo? No.
No.
Wait, that was
2 years ago. It'd be 4 years ago now, I guess. Well, within the past 4 or 5 years.
Oh, is this
going to
be a guy? Is this Eric Staal?
Yes.
I don't think he's. Is he active still?
Oh, you know what? He's listed as active, but you're right.
Because he hasn't retired?
He did not play this year. That's right. He has not played this year.
Okay, but because he hasn't officially retired. That makes sense.
So I'll give you credit for that.
So
that is, you do have the top eight. You want to try a couple more?
9 and 10 is what I need.
If you want to try that.
Could McKinnon be that high already? Oh, wait.
He is not.
Kucherov.
No, he's not that high. Kucherov, he's pretty far down, actually. Don't even see him here.
Okay.
This guy plays currently for the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Oh. Jeff Carter.
Yes. And then number 10...
is Claude Giroux?
Currently plays for the Avs.
Avalanche. Really?
Played most of his career with, let's see. Looks like Minnesota.
Oh, wait. That did not help me. most of his career with Minnesota.
Also played quite a while for the Devils. That's where I would know him from.
Minnesota in New Jersey. Who the?
Yes.
What? Is Zach Parise in the league still?
Yes.
I didn't even know he was in the league still. Okay. Colorado?
Yeah, there you go. There's your top 10. But Joe, what's interesting is out of everybody, not any of those guys, none of them, there is one guy on pace that could actually be the all-time greatest goal scorer if he continues his pace because he's averaging more goals per game in his career than Alex Ovechkin. It's not any of them. Current active goals per game leader. And this is not like a guy who's only played a couple years. He's been in the league, 7 years now?
Yeah.
Eight? Who is it? Who's the current active goals per game leader in the NHL?
Oh, Matthews.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, right, duh. 60, is it 67 is he up to this year? He's really high.
I mean, he's been in his eighth year in the league now. But Ovechkin is .599, like right at .6. He's 6'5", 4, .654. Like, Austin Matthews is the guy, not Connor McDavid, that's really on pace to break the all-time goals record if you go by goals per game.
Wow. He's going to get 70. Have you seen the last time that someone had 70?
Timo Solani, Alexander
McGillney? It was Solani and McGillney.
Yep.
That hasn't happened since Solani and McGillney. Yeah. It is the OJ news is all over ESPN and everything now, by the way.
Yeah.
Like it is it's going to be a lot of today. It's going to be a
It's
going to
dominate
today
for sure.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. And
yep.
Yeah, so OJ Simpson has passed away apparently according to multiple reports. We will take a time out. We'll come back. We'll have Eric Henry, who covers the Texas Longhorns. We'll talk about A.D. Mitchell and Xavier Worthy, a couple of wide receivers who possibly could be Buffalo Bills coming up in just a couple of weeks. We'll do that when we return on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.